I've been to your town and nobody around. I've been to your city and your city.
Hey, this is Justin.
And this is Bruce.
And this is...
The Break-Ins!
Episode 24.
24 already.
Special episode.
24 episodes in what, 6 years?
About 20.
Is that, we only do them during what, some sort of full moon phase?
We've been recording podcasts before there were podcasts.
We had.
They're called conversations.
those are just creepy.
Yeah, they're called phone conversations. This is a special break. This is the first of a break-in, I think.
Yeah, this is possibly the most frightening break-in recording experience.
We've had
in my life.
Special guest before, but you weren't there.
Who was?
Your
wife.
It
was my wife.
Your wife.
That's right, the all Tony Moore episode.
Yeah.
Not Tony Moore.
No, Terry
Moore. Good Lord.
No one likes
I'm reading ahead in the show notes.
That's right. But this episode is all about the upcoming Cincinnati Comic Book Expo. Comic Expo.
I don't think book is in it.
It is now.
Is
it? And no one's going to say any different for like
gotta,
three
gotta
more minutes.
Got to re-register that URL.
I should have written that down. What's it called?
Not the Cincy.
No. What do I call it?
What do you? I don't know.
I don't know.
You sometimes
Anyhow.
Forget my name.
But it is September 17th.
Yes.
Right. And
it's at a new location this year.
It is. And
you know what? You know who knows information better than we do about this convention?
Who is that, sir?
I'm not sure. Maybe we can get Matt on the line.
All right.
Nope. Matt. Nope. Matt. Who do we have instead?
Andrew.
We do have Andrew.
Andrew is tonight's guest.
Are you there, Andrew?
I am here.
He is there.
Andrew, what is the official title of this convention?
Well, I want it to sound very futuristic, so we called it an expo. And Cincinnati Comic Expo is the official name. It's not Comic-Con. It's not Cincinnati Comic-Con fanfare. It's Cincinnati Comic Expo.
Andrew, you want to talk a little about who you are and about yourself and what you're doing here?
Or if you just want to focus on the word expo and break that down.
No, I'm Andrew Satterfield, born and raised in Cincinnati, Ohio. Read comics all my life. Everybody in my family's read comics growing up, doing trips down to Florida, reading Archie Digest. Grew up a little bit and started reading G.I. Joe and stole my brother's Conan comics. So I'm a lifelong comic book fan, just like everybody else who's probably listening.
That's a weird progression there.
Yeah,
Archie,
I didn't know Conan O'Brien
Joe,
had comics.
The Flaming Sea.
Uh-huh.
You're young, Andrew. You're very young. No, but seriously, that's a curious progression there, from Archie to G.I. Joe to Conan. I think one of my first comics was Spider-Man.
Fantastic Four.
And I went back later and read the Archie comics because I thought, these cost the same amount of money, but I'm getting like four times the pages. I was a cheapskate even as a child.
Well, the Double Digest, you really got your bang for your buck. I mean, we would go to Florida and literally probably have 20 so Double Digests in the van that my dad had bought, like saved up from the previous month.
Yeah.
And we would just trade them back and forth with all my brothers and sisters.
Those are good comics, too. They're very enjoyable. A lot of nice sight gags. You learn a lot about comedic timing in those. I'm not going to knock the Archie comics. I think it's a little weird now what Archie's doing. It seems like Archie has just now hit like the late 80s, early 90s of comics, where they're doing like variant storylines and introducing diverse characters for no reason outside of diversity.
Using words like rad and psych.
And awesome, cowabunga,
maybe?
Right,
dude.
I don't know.
Woo!
Totally.
I think my second book I really liked was Captain Carrot.
Captain
Amazing
Carrot?
Zoo Crew.
You remember, was it Bucky? Bucky Rogers?
No, Bucky O'Hare.
Bucky O'Hare.
Right.
I love that.
He was done by Michael Golden.
Was it?
Mm-hmm.
That's a very good book.
It was. And they had a cartoon. Bucky, Captain Bucky O'Hare.
And that'll be our intro.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, Andrew. Go on. Tell us more about the wonders of Cincinnati.
We forgot we had a guest.
We did.
That's all right. No. I wanted to say one about Archie real quick is that you were mentioned, you know, how they're trying to catch up. I mean, if you think about it, since they've done the marriage episode with that Michael Uslan wrote with Stan Goldberg art, prior to that, when's the last time you've really heard much about Archie? You probably have to go all the way back until he did the crossover with Punisher. In the past year or 2 years or so, Archie's been in the headlines, you would say, every 6 months. They got some new breaking thing coming in. So Mr. Goldwater over in charge over there, I think, is really doing what needs to be done to keep the product, the property relevant and keep it in people's faces instead of just, setting sail and you know, at least they're trying to capture new audiences through their books.
You have way too positive of a spin on this for us.
That was awesome.
That's not break-ins tradition. We usually break it down and then move on. but you're right. I'm thinking back to before all this hullabaloo. I remember when they said they were going to change their art style, but then they changed back, didn't they?
Yes. Yeah.
And I remember before that, they had like the special issue where Jughead found out he was diabetic, like some sort of medical charity type of thing. No, where like he was fat and he had all these health issues, and then it's like, hey, kids, don't eat hamburgers.
Well, they do the Cookie Monster. They're trying to make him the Veggie Monster.
Yeah, they did. I'm seriously trying to think back to like relevant Archie stories.
Well, if you even seen some of the latest issues that they come out with, they're doing a lot of pop culture tie-ins. You know, the Twilight, the James Bond movie, the Presidents. They're really tying into what's ever current and what's hip. And putting the characters in those situations, and hoping that it draws in an audience that might not normally have looked at an Archie comic book, but you know that tie-in might swing them to their to buy an issue.
Yeah, but doesn't that detract from the timelessness of Archie?
Yeah, I guess you can say it. Yeah, but you got to keep timely to a certain aspect. You can only tell the same story so many times, or people are going to get bored reading the story. I mean, yeah, Archie's still Archie. There's still, his cosmetic makeup of who he is as a character is still there.
I'm just hoping they're cool enough to restart the numbering.
Yeah. They probably are one of the highest numbered comics right now, aren't they?
They probably are.
I would say so. Archie's running about 650 now or so, and after DC does their reboot, I'm sure it will. I guess Archie would be the longest running title then.
I think followed by
Yellow Kid.
Current running comics could be Archie and the Night Dragon? Savage Dragon? No, Spawn. No.
Sonic the Hedgehog.
Sonic the Hedgehog has more issues now?
I thought Sonic the Hedgehog was approaching a milestone.
What about that Knights of the Dinner Table? They're up there pretty high, aren't they?
I never heard of that comic.
I'm familiar with what you're talking about, but I've never read it. One last thing about Archie, and then we should probably get on to your question. I think timely is good for today, but 20 years from now, timely will be dated. You think back to the Spider-Man comics where he met John Belushi.
I love that issue.
No, right there, you just said it. You love that issue. I mean, I look back, and it's like you buy those old Archies from the 60s and 70s. Like, man, that's pretty retro.
Yeah.
You know, and I could, I buy them when I see them because I think they're cool looking, and they're dating themselves. But I think it's dating themselves, making it current. But at the same time, 20 years from now, it's kind of cool to pick up the book and realize, yeah, that's how we dressed.
Sorry to put your point there, Bruce.
Yeah, that's fine.
I like that.
Yet again, another break-ins tradition. Mm-hmm. I'm always wrong.
I don't think so. Look at this funny drawing.
Why are you drawing?
Because that's what you have when you give me a pen and paper.
God. I didn't give you the pen. You found the pen.
Should I be drawing over here?
Hey, this is the most I've drawn in 3 weeks. Okay.
It is the most he's drawn in 3 weeks.
So, we are currently, let's see.
6 minutes into
block one. Let's get a couple questions. We have a bunch of questions.
I don't think we allowed Andrew to finish introducing himself in the convention.
You weren't done? Oh, Andrew.
Let's just move on to the questions.
Okay.
All right, good. Move along.
No, I need to know where it is.
Oh, yeah. Where's the location, sir?
Oh, sure, the Cincinnati Comic Expo will be at the Duke Energy Convention Center in downtown Cincinnati.
Was Flint taken?
Flint?
As in Michigan?
No. Lady J, Flint.
Duke.
The Duke Energy. Oh, now I get it.
That's man, you traveled a great distance for that joke, my friend.
The Duke Energy Center, it's a fabulous facility. I think people are going to be really – who haven't been there before will be pleasantly surprised. It's going to be fully carpeted. It has excellent lighting. It's going to serve our purposes, and hopefully we can continue to grow the show there year after year. I know people are concerned about downtown Cincinnati as far as traffic or parking. Rest assured, the convention center is literally the first building off the exit ramp, and the parking on the 6th Street will be $5. I've spoken to the director of Central Parking Facilities and have email confirmation that there will be an all-day rate of $5 next door to the convention center.
That's so a good deal.
Yeah, so it's all day, and I guess you could use that if you want to go to Oktoberfest, which is a block and a half, two blocks from the Duke Energy Center.
Oh, this should bring up some good customers.
Yeah. Love hey, how's it going? Drunken Germans are making fun of my Captain America poster.
If I like it.
Because I'm a Nazi, apparently. Okay, two questions came to mind when you're talking about the Duke Energy Center. One, does that mean there's free electricity for everyone, since it's an energy center?
No, next question.
Okay, you said nice lighting. Is it natural lighting? Are there skylights?
Well, the when you see the show floor diagram, which will be going up here in about 10 days or less, the outside of the lobby has humongous, what do you want to call it, like an atrium?
Yeah.
But it's the way it's designed, you're not going to get beat down with the sun, if okay. That makes any sense, the way it's angled.
Yeah.
So, but it'll have very excellent lighting. But the inside of the room, because one of my concerns was, because we are selling an art product, we are selling comic books there at the show, is to make sure there's adequate lighting for people who are examining books or looking at artwork and whatnot. And, I walked in there and I said, turn the lights on full blast and give it a few minutes to warm up and whatnot so I could see what the lighting was. And I was happy. So that's the main concern for me is lighting.
That's a very good thing to be concerned about. I really appreciate that. Me and Justin have been at some conventions before where we've either been blinded in the darkness, been stumbling around feeling books, or there's one where I lost most of my hair because we sat under a skylight, and my shirt was soaked by the end of the day.
That's no book.
No, so, yeah, I mean, I try to put myself in the shoes of an exhibitor or an artist when I went down to the facilities. And trust me, I've examined a lot of facilities throughout Cincinnati, various hotel, universities, every opportunity that we could possibly have placed a show. I went there and toured it and took notes. And at the end of the day, the Duke Energy Center is a facility that we can grow with. It's easy access right off the highway. It's easy to locate. And I think people will be happy.
It sounds good, and when I first heard it was moving, I did look up that location, and the pictures online look nice. I liked the location you had last year. I really liked the curved hall.
That's the biggest comment I get. Every artist said they loved the layout of last year.
Yeah.
And there was nothing wrong with that layout, but I want to stress that if there was ever rain or a cloudy day, overcast, that place uses a tremendous amount of natural lighting. And if I don't know if you remember last year, I had halogen lights brought in. I paid to have those brought in because I was really concerned about the lighting. And if it would ever be a cloudy or a rainy day, that place would have been extremely gloomy. And if it had rained, there's not that much of a barrier from the outside from that main door.
Okay.
So people would have been coming in and it would have been a slop fest right there in front of some of our biggest exhibitors, and it wouldn't have been fair to them. And plus the line, if it was raining that morning, where would we corral those people at? They would be sitting there getting rained on, and it might have turned potential guests away. Where if the Duke, we don't have to worry about that.
See, that's very smart. These are the things that little peons like me and Justin, we don't think of.
No.
Seriously, we're happy if we can find the convention.
Get our wristbands on.
If we can get our wristbands on and our names are spelled correctly.
You can't even sit at the right table.
Yeah, we didn't. We ended up trading with the wrong table. Chris Pritchard.
The most attractive man around.
He is.
Well, we tried it. I mean, last year was our first year, and we made mistakes, as any first-year show I would assume would.
I did not see any mistakes.
Well, there were mistakes. So
you hid them well.
Names on tables, you know. That was a last minute, and we knew we had to get it done, but we were literally running out of time.
Yeah.
And that won't happen this year.
I loved the bathrooms there.
The bathrooms are a maze.
Yes, I liked
them. I got lost in them.
I got confused, ended up peeing next to a little girl. I said, don't tell anyone. Please.
I thought it was a TARDIS in there.
I don't understand what the concept was behind those restrooms, why they had to make it so confusing for somebody to go in and go use the potty, but it was terrible.
Michael Uslan got lost in there. We ended up opening one of the doors to the stall, hoping it was an exit. It didn't work out too well for us. He went first. I'm trying to think. Oh, yes. Hey, an important thing you usually bring up, Justin. Mm-hmm. I can't believe you haven't mentioned it yet. Mm. Chairs.
Yeah.
Chairs were terrible last year. This year, you will have comfortable chairs to rest your bottoms on.
I'd like to thank me.
Yes. I didn't realize that was you that made the comment on the survey at the end of the show last year, but you brought that up, and I thought about it, and I said, you know what? That guy's got a point.
Yeah, Bruce is like, I can't believe you're writing that.
Nice and quiet.
I know.
It's my respect.
We read every single survey, and there was like 200 of them.
Wow.
And we made a Excel sheet and rated the comments, you know, what were we getting the most of. And chairs was something that you had mentioned. I think somebody else might have mentioned it as well. But when I thought about it, I mean, that's not something that maybe people want to comment on, you know. But it was a correct thing to say, and I looked at it, and you know what? Those chairs were terrible.
Well, Justin brings it up because of our accumulated comic book sitting experience. We've been in places where we've been spoiled with chairs, and we've been in places where we've sat in incredibly hard plastic chairs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, another big thing that people talked about on the surveys, if I can bring this up, is food. That was probably our most negative comment was food. And I wouldn't have even thought about that at the show, but negative comment was food. They wanted a bigger variety. I mean, I thought I was going to – people are coming to a comic book show, but apparently food options is something that people want more of.
What food?
I don't think we even ate there.
No, we have – like I bring like con food.
Yeah, and we have like a ritual. We stop at a Red Robin on the way back from cons.
Yeah.
Don't order the all-you-can-eat fries and then get them before the meal comes because you won't stop eating them. You're like rolling out the door. So here's what we're going to do, Andrew. We are going to come back.
Oh, it's time for our first break.
Yes, it's time for our first break. We're going to come back and we're going to start the questionnaire. And we'll introduce that in a moment. We'll be back.
What happens when you visit the most attractive website on the planet? You get Pritchlapped. Pritchlapped.com. The online home of attractive game comic artist Chris Pritchard. It's attractive.
Why, thank you.
And we're back with segment two of the break in to interviewing someone.
Break in to enter?
I don't know.
What?
This isn't the best breaking in break in. What?
We're still breaking in.
Are we?
Let's break it in.
Okay, so Andrew.
Yes,
here's
sir.
Here's what we did for you,
you
sir.
You even drew a turtle.
Yeah.
Wow, you got into that.
Yeah. Here's what we did. Bruce had the genius idea of putting on his BruceLeeHughes.com that to ask questions for you. I thought that was genius. I had a couple questions in mind.
I should have asked first if that was okay. I just threw it out there and I'm like,
I liked it.
I felt like so many questions to myself as well.
Our show. Andrew runs the music. We run the show.
Yeah.
So now, me, being the Facebooker that I am, between the two of us.
Is that with a K or a G? Face.
Booger?
Oh, because I'm 6 years old.
And we're friends of the nerds.
Yeah. We need to get that guy on the next episode of The Break-In. That's not his laugh.
Who is that? Is that Pee Wee Herman?
No. That was the main guy. I don't know. Oh. He had an actual name.
Carradine.
What?
He was Carradine.
Is it David?
No,
that wasn't.
He was a Carradine. No, he was a Carradine, though.
Like
a
real life
Booger?
No, the guy that played the main guy, not Goose from Top Gun.
Right, the other one.
The other one, with glasses.
Who actually wore glasses in real life.
I don't think so.
I think so.
Anyhow, I'm steering the ship, sir.
Wasn't he the father in some sort of Disney?
He actually was, you were correct.
Yeah.
Here we go.
You're talking about the one Shia LaBeouf, I think.
Steer the ship, Captain, steer it.
So, I went on Facebook.
We're going into port.
And I told everyone to ask even more questions. I'm not sure how many of those people from Facebook actually ask questions on your website.
I don't know, because no one used their real name.
No one.
Except for
why
Matt.
Why is that?
Rick. Rick did.
Rick. Yeah, Rick did. And you know what? He asked that question sitting next to me. Because
I
work with
Troy,
him.
And Troy.
He's my intern.
And Wheeler. And BJ and Eric.
Is Wheeler's real name?
I don't know. I always call him Wheeler. I'm really curious. Wheeler, if you're listening to this, we don't know what's that, Andrew?
Who's this BJ guy? You think that's BJ from Studio Kamikaze?
Yeah, I know, because he mentioned studio.
Yeah, it is.
I like it.
I can tell. If you just the first letters out of each word, it spells a kamikaze.
He really wants you to ink some stuff.
I'd respond to that.
Ink it.
I'm terrible about responding. Anyhow, we are not talking about me today. We're talking about you. Now I'm going to read off these questions in no particular order.
Starting from the top, ending at the bottom.
Tell you what, let's go in order. You sent me, let's go right down to your order so I can follow you.
Okay, fine. We'll
That's
do
his
it.
Negotiating tactic.
We'll do it your way.
He tells you it's a good idea and then says no.
I think a good intro would be Frank Sinatra's My Way.
My Way?
Yeah. All right.
Do you want me to sing it?
Or do you want me
to play the real?
I'd like you to sing it while playing the real one.
Okay.
This one comes from Worky. Worky asked, Cirenko, wow, how did they get the hymn?
The hymn?
I don't know. I don't know if I'm supposed to read these as they are.
You read them like a human would say it.
How'd you get Cirenko? That's what they want to know.
Yeah.
All right, well, part of this year's show was to make everything bigger and better, so I really want to have a comic book icon come to the show. We had originally had scheduled Carmen Infantino from David Spurlock, who we had talked to him back in October, I think it was, last year. And we had Carmine was excited, ready to do it. And then, unfortunately, he had to have a surgery. Mm. And so Stranko said, I will step in his place for us, which was very gracious of him. To have Stranko is a thrill for any comic book fan out there. I mean, America is legendary. His artistic skills are unbelievable. The guy's got a history that's unbelievable, you know, from escape artists to illustrations to comic book artists to production art on iconic movies. The guy's an icon of himself. So we're excited to have him, and he stepped in at a time when we needed somebody to really step up for us. So it couldn't have been any, I don't know, it's just perfect.
So this Spurlock fellow you're talking about. So are you saying these guys were rep by the same agent?
Yes. David Spurlock, he has Vanguard Publishing. He's a fantastic gentleman, and he's been assisting us with obtaining some guests for our show. And we've been working with him, and he's given us some pointers and some tips. And I love working with David. He's a great guy. He really cares about these creators. And I hope he feels that he knows that we care about them as well. And he aligned Carmine up originally and was able to get Stranko for us.
I think just looking at the guest list going past Stranko, you have some amazing guests, some big-time, like, Wizard World-level guests.
Justin Wasson, Russo Hughes.
My wife's excited about Mike Norton.
Mm-hmm.
We listen to his podcast with Chris Crank quite often. And I'm sure Crank will show up because he lives there in Cincinnati. And I mean, you know, there are other people, but I'm just saying.
Chris Sprouse.
Chris Sprouse is going to be there. Huge fan of his, and I'm a fan of his wife's as well.
Yeah, Zan's a cool person.
Yeah. You have some amazing guests. It's very impressive. I think people are really going to take notice this year and probably try to buy the con out from under you.
The con's not for sale.
That's what you say today.
No, it's not the con. The expo's not for sale.
Oh, you
got me there. Slug that right by. No, I've really worked hard this year to bring in guests that you normally don't see at our show, but I was also wanting to get support from some local creators that have established themselves. And, you know, being a first-year show was difficult to get the people who we did get, and we had some fabulous guests, in my opinion. And this year we had to step it up. You know, everything had to be bigger and better. So, you know, it's email and it's phone call and it's networking, you know, finding out who hangs out with who. It's almost kind of like a project you undertake. And, you know, do you get this guy? Well, you get this guy then, you know, that type of thing. I mean, let's face it, artists like to go to shows where their buddies are at.
Yeah.
So a lot of it is, you know, working it, I guess you could call it. And
I'm trying to think how me and Justin found out about you the first year.
Probably Matt. Matt is instrumental with the work that is done with the expo. and establishing contacts with creators.
Yeah, I probably think it was a Justin thing. Did Matt talk to you? Email?
I don't
recall. Because I'm pretty sure you're the one that's like, oh, we should do this.
Yeah, Cincinnati. I remember that, but I don't remember how he contacted me.
I'm thinking back to the last couple of conventions we've been at. Everyone seems to hand out postcards, mm-hmm. and I take them. I say, that's nice. I ask a couple of questions. But honestly, like an email, something personalized that says Bruce on it grabs my attention. I was just recently emailed about a guy doing a convention in Lexington.
Uh-huh.
And because he emailed me and because it was not a form letter – he referenced, you know, the book I was working on and mentioned something off my website. I'm going to go to his convention because he knows who I am.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it seems much more personable than a guy walking around handing me a postcard and delivering me a speech. Now, I know you have postcards as well, and they're beautiful postcards.
Have you seen our postcards lately?
Yeah, we got some in Louisville.
Good.
Yeah, but I
was at a local shop. And apparently people collect our postcards. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah, apparently shop owners were – I was at the Comic Book World, and Paul Mullins was telling me. He goes, you know, we go out of the postcards so fast. And he says part of the reason is because people want one of everyone. Because
yeah.
We do a series of postcards. And this year we had 4 designs done. And people literally collect our postcards. Probably because of the art that we put on, we really focus on some great art for the show. And that's a project in and of itself to get creators to donate their time to create a nice looking piece for us. And people are actually collecting the postcards now.
Speaking of art, how do you determine if something is a limited edition print?
Oh, are you moving on to the second question?
I am.
Okay.
Is
this for me?
This is from Rick, also known as Dick.
How do I would determine something's a limited edition print? I would just assume that a established number up front with the printing run would make it a limited edition print. Like our posters, we have Antonelli College is sponsoring the poster printing of our posters. So we have to go in and give them, you know, here's their quotes that we obtained, and this is the one we're going to go with, and take into consideration quality and you know, the capabilities of the printer, and that's established print run. It is what it is. So
yeah.
That's a limited edition print. If that's what they're referring to, our posters that we do, that we give away for free to our fans, because we do have 3 designs this year. But you can only get all 3 designs if you buy the VIP package. If you just buy a regular admission ticket, you're limited to just 1 of the 3 posters.
Ooh, sneaky.
Hmm.
Now, I have a limited edition print. I'll mm-hmm. be selling. I can't give mine away, Andrew, not like you. I don't have the money. I don't have Steranko money to throw around. so I don't know if he was referencing that. If that's the case, it's just something I like to do for cons that I found worked really, really well at the last con we were at. So it was a limited edition print. Something personal, like the Louisville one, you know, it had horses in it and Aquaman, which I think is really big in Louisville.
Horse for Louisville. Was unbelievable. I loved it. It's. I just really enjoyed the nostalgic aspect that you put into it with the references to Norman Rockwell. I really enjoyed that print. I look forward to you bringing it back down to Cincinnati so I can frame it up.
It's customized. I added the rest of the Silver Age JLA for you.
I know. I demanded it.
Now, have you seen the one I've done for your expo?
Yeah, you got a preview, and I'm waiting for you to reveal the whole thing.
Oh, no, I sent it to you on Facebook.
No, you didn't.
I thought I sent you the whole thing.
I've seen it. It's amazing.
Huh, so only Justin has seen it.
Yeah, if you sent it to me on Facebook, I missed it.
Okay, I will. I'll send that to you right away then. I thought for sure I did.
Now,
limited edition prints for shows are great because we will post them on our Facebook. We'll post them on the website, and it drives traffic to your table.
Yep.
So if any other artists are out there considering doing a print for the show, time's running out. You gotta get us. You know, you gotta let us know so we can help promote you. I mean, being a promoter for the show, my job is to promote the people being at the show. So I want to get to give as many people to everybody's tables as possible. So if you're going to have a print, let us know if it's a limited edition, if it's just for our show, and that way we can advertise it for you.
Yeah, and as someone selling a limited edition print, I can say it's well worth the time to make it. You sell things that are customized to that city a bit better than you would something generic.
Cincinnatians, they love to buy references of Cincinnati. That's all there is to it.
Yeah. Any city you could take pride in, I'm sure people feel the same. You want to push us on to the next question?
Going to.
Or,
yep.
I could just keep talking about this one all day.
But if someone did do, like, because pigs are big in Cincinnati,
yeah,
someone should do.
Pig thing?
No, someone should do, what's his name? Iron? Pig Iron from Captain Iron Pig's Zoo Crew. But Desiree4-24.
Wow. Is she a Cylon or
she's
something?
She's a THX1138. really wanted to know, is it expensive to run a con? Does it pay off in the end? And where do you get volunteers to help you out?
You know, putting on a show is expensive. I'm not going to get into the details of it. That's kind of personal. But it is not cheap, I'll tell you that. You know, you have to fly in. If you want to bring in top talent, you got to fly them in from across the country. You got to put them up in hotels. You've got to, you know, there may be fees associated with bringing them in, cover their meals, taking them out to dinner, wine and dine them. I mean, it can get fairly costly, you know. So part of establishing prices for the booths, part of establishing prices for the tables for the artists, obtaining sponsorships to get your costs covered. It's a lot of, I sometimes I wonder if people realize what goes into producing a show. And I don't think sometimes they just think, well, you just get a room and you have the people come, you know. But you got to convince people to come to your show. And the big names, it's not as easy just sending an email, hey, come to my show. You know, there's a lot involved into it, and it can get expensive. You know, does it pay off in the end? You know, I realize I'm investing into the show, and our show we have been lucky and it has been successful right off the bat. So yes. Where do you get volunteers? Volunteers is something that we've been lucky with. We've been approached by people. But it's not just getting warm bodies to be a volunteer. You want to get active volunteers. If you can check out our Facebook site, you'll notice this past weekend we had a poster, marketing canvas of the east side of Cincinnati. We hung up close to 60 posters on the east side of Cincinnati, and our volunteers came out in force for that. You know, they paired up in twos, they got in cars, they drove down. I handed out maps and said, you hit this street, you go down this street. And they willingly took the posters that we had. They put them up in coffee shops, Starbucks, Panera's, Willie's Sports Cafe. We put them everywhere we could find a place to put them at, bowling alleys, bars. It's funny because bars, for some reason, seem to love comic books. So there must be some connection between bars and alcohol and comic books and smoking. but, you know, you just not get volunteers is what I'm getting at. Is you got to get good quality volunteers. And that can be hard to come by, you know. But our volunteers are excited. They're pumped up to be. They want the show to succeed. They want a good quality show in Cincinnati, and I want to deliver it for them. So, you know, we got poster parties, you know, coming up here for the west side of Cincinnati this weekend. I did a third of downtown today myself personally, and at the end of each one, I do something for them. You know, we went to the Cheesecake Factory when we got done. I bought everybody cheesecake. And this Saturday we'll probably go out and get some pizza afterwards.
Well, okay, one more question here.
Can I ask a question based on that question?
Yeah.
Is that all right? Okay.
Yeah.
Andrew, it sounds like everything has gone exceptionally well for you. I haven't heard you at any point say, yeah, we stumbled on something last year, or, you know, we had a problem with this. Have you found that the stars have just aligned for you, or are you just damn good at this?
I don't say stars aligned or I'm damn good at it. Me and Matt realized what we want to do, where we want to get to. You know, we have an idea of where we want the show to go, you know, and bigger and better every year is what we got to do. And I don't stop thinking about it. Matt doesn't stop thinking about it. You know, we're trying to improve every single aspect that we do. Before I send an email, you know, I shouldn't say every email, but if I got to write a fairly lengthy email to somebody who is an important person, you know, whether it be a top talent or something, you know, I write it, and then I send it over to Matt, and I say, Matt, read over this. And Matt's worked in the news industry for 10 years. He's a very competent person. He knows how to fine tweak things, you know, so to speak, so that that we get our point across to what we're trying to do or whatever our subject matter is. And Matt is awesome at that. And I send him emails probably every other day almost, saying, hey, take a look at this. What do you think? Can you maybe tweak it? Here's what I'm trying to say. And without Matt, the show wouldn't be where it is. You know, I mean, he is a workhorse. You know, I mean, we work our butts off at it. You know, so I don't say stars aligned. I don't think that we've been extremely lucky. I mean, I think part of it is being at the right time at the right place, but just getting down and pounding the pavement and doing what needs to be done. That's all there is to it.
Yeah, it's good to have somebody to rely on as well. It sounds like there's a real synergy there between you and Matt.
I've known Matt since first grade. Wow. So we know each other how we think. I got a Walt Disney type of personality where I everything I dream, I think it can be done. If you can dream it, you can do it, is what Walt Disney used to say.
Yeah.
And Matt is the person that brings me down and says, okay, Andrew, you got all these ideas. You know, I want to help you get them done, but let's be realistic in what can we actually physically get done. You know, but you got to have somebody with a vision, you know, to take a show to where you want it to go, you know, and make the show special. But you also need the people behind you to help push you to get to that point in time. But you also need that person to say, whoa, pull the reins in a little bit. You know, we got to corral this in and get it under control so we can move forward.
Yeah. You're going to have the yin and the yang there.
That's correct.
One more question before we go on break.
Brandon New wants to know, Andrew, do creators like Tony Moore?
I don't think that's the whole question.
Oh, no, wait. Oh, I'm sorry. It's not.
You want me to finish it for you?
Hold on, wait. Andrew,
they may like Tony Moore. He's
like
a nice
Tony
guy.
Moore pay to go to large conventions, or do you pay them?
You know, that's somewhat personal. I don't want to get into what creators are asking or their fees.
No,
or what,
not that. We just want to know if I think they just want to know if
in general.
Yeah, is there like a dividing line between people? You know.
Yeah, because you're not taking us out to dinner.
Right.
I tell you what, Bruce, Justin, you come down on Friday night. You join us in a special dinner. How's that sound?
We flew to Louisville, according to Bruce.
First class.
So we can fly out from Dayton to Cincy.
To Cincinnati.
You can drive to Cincy in 45 minutes. You come down Friday night. Heck, you can crash in our suite, and we'll take you out to dinner. And trust me, you'll have a blast. Hands down.
I think he just invited us out on the date.
I think so.
I'm not holding your hand, and we're not sleeping near each other.
All right. Well, thank you for answering that. But you didn't answer the first part of the question. So,
all right. Do creators like Tony Moore pay to go to large conventions?
No, creators like Tony Moore.
Creators in general. Well, you know, to get...
creators like Tony Moore?
Right. Creators in general. Okay. I would say that, you know, the top talent, they're being asked by so many shows, sometimes you have to...
I think you're missing the
joke.
The possibly too subtle joke Justin is trying.
I am missing it. It's over my head.
Do creators like Andrew?
Do people like Tony Moore is what he's asking.
Yeah.
Do other creators like Tony Moore? End of question. Is Tony Moore an asshole? I think is what he's getting at.
Tony Moore's awesome.
Yeah.
Are you crazy? That's a ridiculous question.
Kidding, Andrew. All right, but we'll be back in a moment for more questions.
Well, hey there, pilgrims. Won't you head on over to JustinWasson.com? Check out some Gemini serials, whack comics, little guy, and hell, you can even find some other copies of these great podcasts. That's JustinWasson.com.
Hey, we're back. And with round, what are we on, round?
This is round three.
All right, so Andrew, we have some more questions here. A couple more questions for this round segment.
We have short ones.
Are you there, Andrew?
I am here.
Okay.
We got to get this thing moving.
Woo. Yes, sir. Well, some guy, another guy, and yet another guy all had some interesting questions. I'm going to read the questions, and I'm going to let you answer them. All right? I'm going to paraphrase them, too.
Way to break it down for us.
That's right. Andrew, how is 2012 looking for next year's show?
Okay.
And let's see here.
Way to read ahead, buddy.
Yeah, I know. I got distracted by my artwork. It's so beautiful. do you feel that the market is becoming oversaturated because there's cons in Dayton, the Mid-Ohio Con, Gem City Con, Space, now the one in Louisville, the upcoming one in Lexington.
Lexington.
The other one in Middletown in 2013, and followed by...
the one here in Germantown.
Germantown.
Next week.
2014. Yeah, next week.
It's a Bruce and Justin Con.
How do you feel, and I think I might just
you know, are you going to ask him every question in a row?
No. Just one more question. How do you feel that, you know, if it is, if it might oversaturate, how you guys differ? I think that
Or defer.
Okay, defer. Oh, I apologize. Or defer. I apologize.
Andrew, take it
home. All right, so let's get this started. Okay, how's 2012 looking?
Right.
Believe it or not, we're already starting to plan for 2012. We got to keep the eye on the ball, though, for 2011, but we do have some general ideas about 2012. A lot of it depends upon the overall attendance of the show, our feedback from our fans and from our creators that attend the show and our vendors. But 2012 is going to look to be an amazing show. Poster art's already being lined up by industry legends who are participating in our poster series for next year. And talent is already being lined up. We already have a few guests aligned. We have some coming from overseas, from another country. So things are already looking good for 2012. And as far as the amount of shows that are popping up, I've heard this from several other people. The good thing is, and I think fans and creators and vendors are gonna like to hear, is that we've kind of formed like a bond, us who are running these independent shows, like the Gem City, the Louisville, this upcoming Lexington.
Yeah, you all seem to know each other and get along pretty well. I assume there'd be some sort of rivalry there, but when I saw you and Eric.
Yeah, is this like what Norman Osborn created with Dr. Doom?
The Sinister Six?
No, Dr. Doom and the White Queen, Namor. What was that called?
The Illuminati?
Yes. Do you have the Illuminati? Is that what you have?
The Cincinnati?
Cincinnati.
Our talks of forming Illuminati, but I can't talk about it, so Robert kicked out.
Back to your overseas thing. Can you you have to tell us, is it Alan Moore or Pat Lee?
You'll have to find out.
You know, Pat Lee it is then.
No, I can't tell you who anything is for next year. I got to finish this show first.
Yeah, that's it.
Transform my art.
But
your art into mine.
I want to say that the bond that I formed with, and it's been both ways, you know, with Eric, Sean up at Kokomo Con, Dan with Dan Con, and the one in Lexington. We're really forming a good bond with each other. You know, we want our shows all to succeed. But we understand that with the market and with the amount of shows, we need to make sure we're all on the same page as far as scheduling, guest selection. There's a lot of things that we need to work as promoters, okay, to make sure the shows are all not competing with one another. And but you know, the main thing when it comes down to is I have to focus to make sure Cincinnati has the best show in Cincinnati. I can't get distracted with other shows in other parts of the country. I got to make sure I'm focusing on Cincinnati, and my show is the best for Cincinnati.
Yeah, but I can only imagine seeing the jump from 2010 to 2011, what 2012 is going to be like. I'm excited.
Will 2012 have John Cusack, Amanda Peet, and Oliver Platt?
No.
Okay.
They were in the movie 2012.
Yes, they were.
So it would be apropos to have them there.
A 2012 reunion.
There's some things that work for 2012, but 2011 is going to be very special.
But speaking of, actually, I mean, because of that, I mean, you know, joking around about Amanda Peet, and John Cusack, better off dead. Why doesn't the Cincinnati, this is coming from yet another guy, why doesn't the Cincinnati Comic Expo have actors, or as I would really prefer, wrestlers?
Oh, yeah, the Sci-Fi Channel stars.
Or
is what I collect to
perhaps come up. The Insane Clown Posse.
Are this guy still around?
Yeah.
They do.
The Juggalos or whatever they call themselves?
Yeah, or Jerry Springer even. Why aren't they at the Cincinnati Comic Expo?
Well, you know, I want a comic book focus centered show. And, you know, we want to bring in a top talent within the industry. And when you start bringing in the celebrities, the wrestlers, if you have to create a name for the person's character in the movie, like, you know, fifth zombie in the fifth row of the restaurant, you know, if that's your name, then to me, I'm not even interested. You know, we have been approached by celebrities to come to our show, and as much as we love to have them, I have to keep the show focused as a comic book show at this point in time.
Is there anyone you would break that rule for? Say Lee Majors.
There are. I mean, if I'm going to bring in somebody, it's somebody that I'm going to appreciate myself on a personal level.
Like Lee Majors.
Do you have the money?
I love Lee Majors.
Do you have the technology to bring him in?
Well, I had the technology to make him a $12 million man, not a $6 million.
We don't want to up him.
But, there's an argument, and our surveys reflected that last year as far as celebrities and whatnot at the show. 50% people want them, 50% don't. So I think we're going to find a happy medium in the future where maybe it's one or two.
I'm probably one of the 50% where I don't want them there. And if they are there, I don't want to be the guy stuck next to Tyler Mayne. I'm selling comics. He's selling pictures of himself. That's got to be weird because I've seen people next to Lou Ferrigno, and I like Lou Ferrigno. He's a nice guy. My uncle went to school with him. But I feel bad for the little independent comic book artist sitting next to Lou Ferrigno. What an awkward day that has to be.
Well, I mean, plus when you bring these the celebrities in, and I'm not saying it's bad, okay? But we're still a young show. You know, this is only our second year. And the last thing is, you know, if they didn't meet a guarantee or whatever, at the end of the day, I don't want to have to be responsible for cutting a check to, let's say, Lou Ferrigno for, you know, $3,000 or who knows what it is. You know [S2] Yeah. [S1] What I'm saying? I got to be focused on comic books, and I got to secure the future of the show, and I can't be forward writing checks at the end of the day because a creator didn't get enough autographs or something.
Yeah, I totally agree. Next question.
Speaking of checks, this next question comes from Troy. Will the Cincinnati Comic Expo accept other payments types other than check or cash or bartering goats?
This year, we did not take credit cards, electronic forms of payment, because we didn't want to. If we did, we would have to up the cost slightly on the registration. I mean, on a per-person basis, it may not seem like much, you know, but when you add 3% across 150 people who are registering for the show, it ends up being several hundred dollars.
Well, hang on for a second. Is this person asking about buying like a booth, a table space? Or are they talking about getting there and buying a ticket?
Well, if you buy a ticket online right now, you can use credit card.
Okay, but you can't show up and buy a ticket in person with a credit card?
No, you cannot. We don't have the capacity to take electronic forms of payment at the show.
Is there an ATM nearby?
There is. There's two ATMs in the Duke Energy Center, ground floor and on the second floor.
Okay, I will say for people like me and Justin, they're selling comics, having an ATM nearby is very nice because we always get that, oh, I just spent all my cash if there's an ATM nearby. So if we know where that is, we can point them out and call them on their lie.
They are there, trust me. Wow. I look at everything.
I buy everything here except your books.
Oh, that guy. The Asperger's guy from Jim City.
Oh, man.
Oh, okay.
Well, thank you for answering that, Andrew.
Yeah, I mean, we just don't want to pass the costs on to the artists and creators. We're trying to run the show. I don't know if people realize it, but, you know, we got fairly low booth rates and artist vendor space.
Yeah.
And if I start taking credit cards or if I start accepting PayPal forms of payment, you know, it starts adding up because then, you know, it ends up. At the end of the show, I mean, I'd be spending anywhere, and I ran the math. I mean, we would probably be spending a minimum of $150 because I imagine a majority of people would use it, yeah. And it could exceed up to anywhere slightly over $300.
Well, us little guys appreciate that.
Thank you.
So this next question comes from Spider1. I really like this question. I even have a somewhat answer for it.
I don't like this question or this person.
Okay. Well, I have an answer for it.
Okay.
Okay, so Andrew, I'm going to ask you, and I'm going to answer as well, all right?
Uh-huh.
Why would you let a guy like Bruce into the expo? Luckily, he did say expo, not con.
He did.
So
he's smart.
Yeah.
He's an a-hole, but he's smart.
And why would you even waste your time talking to him?
Well, Bruce is a nice man. Yeah.
I want to hear some of this Archie selling of Bruce.
I'm relevant to the times.
I enjoy your guys' podcast immensely. I've listened to every single episode. And
I apologize for episodes 1 through 6.
So, you guys have excellent podcast, and you know, Bruce is talented. Justin's talented. You guys are like a comedic team, and I enjoy it. It's lighthearted. It's fun. and I'd like to see you guys at the show. And there may be some prizes for you, some surprises for you too when you arrive at the show. I can't say what, but
Potted meat.
Huh?
Potted meat. I'm a huge fan of potted meat.
Well, I don't know what the heck that you're talking about, but
Barry?
Oh no, not Barry.
That and
your hair crossed.
Some gags. Okay, just watch out when you arrive.
Well, now see, I was thinking about this question and because I noticed there was something absent from it.
You?
That was my name. and I figured that if this was a friend of Bruce's, that most of Bruce's friends have no idea I'm actually at the table.
Yeah.
They show up, hey, Bruce, how you doing? Talk to him. I try to wave by.
I do always say, hey, Justin's got some stuff.
Yes, but like they are pretty women to my nerdy self. They look past me into the wall.
Yeah.
So that was my answer.
I wouldn't say that.
Well, I would, because you're not at the table getting ignored from Bruce's friends.
It is awkward for you.
Barry told me that you're very busy at the show.
Now, last year at the expo, you had a dozen cave women come up and talk to you.
The cave women were very, very attractive. And they were promoting a movie, but it's sad to say, but the guy, the announcer for them, recently passed away.
Holy crap!
Wow!
He was a.
It's the saddest thing ever on our podcast.
The break in first.
And he was a big supporter of the show. He really wanted to see it succeed to become, you know, one of the he wanted our show to be one of the largest shows in the country. He fully supported it. And he was involved with the local, see the Doritos commercial, the guy through the snow globe?
Yeah.
That was him. And he was very supportive of the show, and he wanted to do a lot of collaboration with the Cincinnati Comic Expo and the Cincinnati Film Festival. And we're hoping at some point we can pick up those ties with the new people who are in charge of that now and see where it goes. But he was a very nice person. He handmade all those costumes. He did personally.
I bet getting the measurements was exciting.
Oh, I bet it was.
Keep us moving, Justin.
Speaking of
measurements.
I don't know how this is a segue. This one comes from BJ.
Not the bear.
That'd be awesome, though, wouldn't it?
I prefer to get a message from Stax.
But how do you decide the
layout? I
remember
too much about that show.
Of your artists and vendors? I mean, do you take into consideration of where they're placed? And let's see. What if a table has a dozen or so people?
I mean, like one of those studios that we sit next to last
like
year?
Playing loud music all day long.
60-second loop?
Well, that's you got a couple questions in there, so let me answer. break it all down. Okay, one, the layout of the show floor of artists and vendors. Well, we try to mix it up as best as we can because we don't want to stick all the people who we bring in as guests in one corner. So we're trying to mix that up with the vendors so everybody has an opportunity to get noticed. From the independents to the talent to the vendors, we don't want nobody to feel like they're stuck in a corner. I look at the show floor and I say, yeah, that's not a good area. You know, what can we do? How can we drive people back there? Do we stick the show services table back there? You know, so there's a lot of things that we try to do so we make sure everybody's got a good spot. Now, do we take into consideration studios that have a dozen or so people? Well, this year on a registration form, when you guys completed it, you might have saw that we asked who's going to be at your booth, and you know, and we kind of limited the lines, you know, somewhat, so we didn't have a dozen people behind a table because it's not fair to the guy who is just him and his wife, or him and his worker, or just him at a table, you know. Yet 12 people are pounding behind a table. And they are, basically, it's a studio. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but is it fair to the guy sitting next to you that it's already got 10 people behind a table? You know, so we're hoping that people use good judgment. And I feel that the people who are coming to our show, the vendors and the artists, do use good judgment. And it's not 12 people behind a table at a time.
I'm always curious when I see that, how many of those people contribute and how many of those people are just there for a free ticket.
That's a concern. You know, I this things that me and Matt talk about, you know, because we want to make sure it's fair for everybody, you know, and, and of course, you know, I wish I could get everybody a free ticket to the show if I could, you know, but then guess what? Then we don't have special guests come to the show and some things may be taken away. Maybe we go back to junky chairs.
Right. And Justin would not show up.
No. But, I mean, what if there was like, because you know you put a lot of effort into these things and you make sure that everyone the tickets are low, and for new people into comic books, as Nacy.
Well, hang on now. You're going to move on to another question.
I'm already done.
I wanted to talk about the studio and the way there's 12 people.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
The fact that me and you we're named separate, but we share a table.
Right.
We have the exact opposite approach as the studio people. Now. Are we screwing each other over for that, or are we screwing up Andrew's plans here?
No, because you guys are both listed on the website,
yeah.
And you guys, I don't mind. I mean, I don't want people to feel like, oh my God, we're a studio. We want studios there.
Yeah.
You know, we want that. It feels good. You know, what we don't want is 12 people standing right behind a table all at once. It's not fair to the guy to the left and to the right.
Right.
And, you know,
it's also a little intimidating. I can't imagine they do good business when it's just, you know, 12 guys standing leering.
Yeah. You know, it's hard for somebody who's trying to sell to their customer right there in front of them, the guy who's next to that studio, you know.
Yeah.
But, we wanted to have a good show. We want everybody to have a good time. You know, we just want everybody to be respectful of one another.
Totally understandable. Hit us with another one, Justin.
All right. Nacy C. I thought it was Nancy C.
But I don't know. If she spelled her name wrong, she's an idiot.
That's right. Well, but she is a comic noob with two O's.
Noob?
Neeb.
I think that's correct.
That is correct.
It is?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, how old are you?
I guess I'm just a noob to reading internet language.
Whatever.
Okay, fine.
Is that how you would say it?
All right. Y'all picking on me here. So what re the things, I'm guessing that's R.
Probably. Maybe that's she texted in. I don't know.
Please don't stop by our booth, basically.
Do stop by.
Yes, but I just don't hit us.
I think I even told her that.
I'm the one with the beard, by the way.
I said stop by, because later on she mentions this is her first con.
Yes,
or it's her first expo.
She says, well, now I just have to do at the Cincy Con.
Okay.
This is my first convention.
Uh-oh. So, she said CincyCon. I don't, you know, it's Expo.
So,
but she's a noob, so we let it slide.
Down. Exactly.
Yeah.
Her noobishness.
What are some of the first things that, if you were to talk to someone that's just going to convention, what would be the first things you would recommend? Some of the first things that...
Exciting question.
Yes. What would you do? You are in charge of guiding this person through the convention, which, better known as the Expo... what would you suggest them doing?
Well, I would go to the website. Okay, our programming is going to be announced shortly here in the next week or less. And I would kind of look over the guest list, kind of read some of the bios of who the people you would like to meet, and start making a little checklist of things you want to do at the show. Now, things I would recommend to people, you know, is go through that list, mark some people you'd like to meet, check out the programming for the show, the panels. I mean, we put a lot of thought into our panels. I mean, it's something that me and Matt, we work on for, you know, several months, you know, trying to come up with good panel discussions to have. And so take a look at that list. Find a few of them you might be interested in. Make sure you attend the costume contest. It's always a lot of fun, and this year we upped the game on it. We're going to have a humongous stage for it. We're going to have celebrity judges. We're going to have an announcer. It's going to be just unbelievably lots of fun. I would go to the website, look at the programming, look at the artists that are coming to the show, and just start circling things like, that's what I want to do. That's what I want to do. If you want to get a sketch from an artist that's going to be there, make sure you get there fast and early, because, you know, they can only crank out so many in a day. You know,
I think Tony Moore auctions off his sketching in advance on eBay.
That is true, and from my understanding, he will be doing a sketch auction for the Cincinnati Comic Expo. He'll be doing one of those.
Nice.
I can knock off about 30.
Yeah.
But use the Expo to
he can. He can make hundreds of dollars in sketches in a very limited period of time.
Just promote myself.
You're very impressive.
But the, I mean, take the opportunity to visit some of the special guests that we're bringing in, because I really focus on trying to get guests that you don't see in this area. Like, you know, Jose Delbo, you know, he doesn't do a whole lot of shows. He's a fantastic artist that drew tons of Wonder Woman back in the 70s and the early 80s. He did Transformers throughout the 80s. He's an extremely talented person, and we're very lucky to have him. You got Stranko, make sure you stop by and say hi, you know, shake his hand and look at some of the amazing artwork. You know, who else do we have that off the top of my head? Stan Goldberg. He's a guy who's worked on Archie for God knows how long. And, you know, he's never been to the tri-state before. So he's excited to come down here, meet his fans. He's got tons of history behind him. You got Alan Bellman, who's worked on Captain America from the 1940s. There's just amazing talent. Michael Uslan's returning. He's going to have a book signing for his new book. There's just so much going on at the show. You really need to look at the website, start circling some people you'd like to meet, start looking at some of our programming. Our programming this year is unbelievable. When it's announced, I think people are going to be really surprised at what we put together for them.
When I saw what you were doing for this year, I was surprised that me and Justin were asked back. And also, I suggest that for next year, you change the name of the con to the Riverdale Comic Expo. Just put the Archie love out there, right in the front. Just get it over with. Just all Archie.
I heart the arch.
Yeah.
Well, we're gonna come back and we're gonna have a few more questions and
the lightning round.
We're gonna let you ask Bruce and I some questions too.
We will see.
We'll be back.
You've seen him at cons. You've avoided high contact with him at shows. He's made you uncomfortable at both expos and Wizard Worlds. Now it's your turn to buy something from the guy that everyone tells.
I'll be back around later. Maybe I'll get something from you then, if I have any monies left over.
It's Bruce O'Hughes. His illustrations and comic books have enthralled people from West Ohio to East Ohio. And now, for as long as he can afford to keep the store open, you can purchase Bruce O'Hughes' fine wares online. Go to BruceO'Hughes.com and click on Comics and Prints for Sale. It's right below Buy My Stuff. With over 4 items currently in the store, who knows what Bruce will do next? BruceO'Hughes.com. All profits go to Bruce's wife for letting him keep doing this crazy thing called comics. Please buy a comic. Don't be a dick.
And welcome back. This is yet another exciting round of the break-ins
segment
interview.
Four?
I don't know anymore. I've lost. We're about 5 hours in.
6 hours.
So I'm.
It's like the stand of podcast.
Baby, can you dig your man?
Obscure.
So Wheeler Hall, a very big fan of ours.
Just a big guy in general, isn't he?
I think so. I've never met the guy in person.
Really?
Actually, I think maybe I have met him, and I don't know.
I don't know.
That'd be very exciting.
I want to know if he's named after the American kid from Captain Planet.
Wheeler?
Yeah.
I wonder if he's coming to the show.
We don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know if he comes to shows.
I don't know.
Wheeler, if you're listening to this, let us know.
He's gone to the Gym City.
Not last year.
He didn't?
He said he was out of town. Or maybe that was Free Comic Book Day. Anywhere I am, he doesn't show up.
I don't know. He's a fan of our voices, but not us.
And he likes our artwork. He did win some stuff.
Did? How do you win? Oh, that's right. Your thing. Yeah, yeah.
I never win.
Right.
Do you try?
No.
You stop playing.
Well, then.
Stop playing.
Good luck winning.
Game. So, all right. Ready? Here's the questions.
Lightning round.
Boom, 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 boom. As many cons as I've attended, I've noticed many fans who choose not to shower before attending. Is this the case at the Cincy Expo? If so, what can be done about this problem?
I like to think that the Cincinnati Comic Expo has a higher class of attendees. No, I didn't notice anything last year, and it was pretty packed walking around, and I didn't notice anything. Now, it was funny because he brings this up here about what can be done. I actually approached a vendor that made soap for nerds. It was called Geeky Clean Geeky Clean, I think it what it was. And she makes soap for nerds. She puts like dice in the soap itself to encouraging proper hygiene.
Yeah.
And so we'll
see.
Are
we talking like 10-sided dice, like Lord of the Rings dice here?
Oh, now Lord of the Rings?
Talking D&D 20-siders, okay?
D&D 20-sided. Way to one-up me. Well, I think it's important to note that he mentions cons and then he references the expo. So I don't think expos have any sort of hygiene problem. I think that's the big differential.
Ah, that's the con of going to a con.
Con.
Expo's futuristic. Nobody smells in the future.
Yep.
Oh.
We grow our own deodorant.
Yeah. Now, that's right. what is the guy to girl ratio at your expo?
Did he ask that?
He said, "Is the I was trying to."
Well, no, you don't have that. To. I'm just curious.
Yes, he said, "What is the guy to girl ratio?"
Is he looking for a lady?
Well, he wants to know if the Cincy Expo.
Maybe we need to have one of those speed dating things that they got at some of the other shows. You know,
that's crazy.
They seem to be pretty popular. I mean, maybe we need to do that.
Wow. What comics do you like? I like.
I am.
Think about it. If you go to a convention and you love comic books and you're single and you're looking for somebody who shares your enjoyment of your hobby, wouldn't going to a convention make sense then?
I think 2012 is looking at being a matchmaking year.
Yeah.
I think Justin can host it with Bruce.
I will not be hosting this.
We're going to MC the speed dating.
You don't have to stand a chance. Just get out.
I want to participate in it, even though I'm married.
Exactly. But you there. You're too pretty. Stand over to the side. I'll get to you later.
Now, I know some conventions I've been to, there's a whole section dedicated to gaming. The question on the table is, who is smarter, gaming nerds or comic nerds?
Ooh.
That's a good question. I think if you break it down, I think maybe comic book fans have more of a aspect knowledge of history, and maybe the D&D are more type A, where they know the calculation and the formulas for playing games.
Yeah.
How about DC versus Marvel or D&D versus Magic the Gathering nerds?
I would say D&D. I used to play that when I was in high school, and unfortunately I don't have the time commitments to continue playing it once I had got married and had kids.
Yeah.
As far as DC versus Marvel, I'm a DC fan.
So you would say you're smarter than a Marvel fan?
I wouldn't say that. I think they're both equally smart. I do love Marvel, but I like DC slightly more. I love Captain America. I saw the movie. You know what I like more than anything is I love Marvel movies. And now the Batman movie for DC is killer.
Yeah, but they're never going to be able to recapture that for another character.
Well, that's my fear, is that they will never be able to recapture what Michael and Christopher Nolan have done with Batman. And I would love to see a Wonder Woman movie. And I'm glad they canceled the Wonder Woman TV show because I saw the pilot. It was garbage.
Yep. I'm right there with you.
I think the best movie possible, I mean, besides the made-for-TV movie back in the late 80s, would probably be an Archie movie.
Archie needs to be made into a movie.
To Rivendell was a movie.
Rivendell.
Now I'm saying it.
I watched it.
Greatest adventure.
I would do Archie CGI.
Oh.
Keep them ageless.
Or motion, like they're doing Tintin?
We'll see how Tintin works out. Now, I will weigh in. I have an opinion, DC versus Marvel. I think DC fans are smarter for the simple fact they're the ones who keep throwing up history and referencing numbers, and they have multiple versions of every character to keep straight. Marvel fans just, whatever, and they just roll with it.
Mm-hmm.
Marvel fans don't question how Spider-Man can be everywhere, how Wolverine can do everything. They don't question the fact that, oh, Cyclops said the exact opposite thing 2 months ago, and now he's changed his opinion. But where DC fans will call out writers and artists on every problem.
So you think Marvel's conditioned their fans to accept whatever they throw at them?
Yes, I think Marvel fans have just been beaten to the point where they'll take anything. They're like abused wives.
So back to an earlier question. And I have an answer.
You don't want to weigh in on this? You don't want to ostracize D&D, people?
I believe D&D are smarter than Magic.
Is that's where you're drawing the line?
I played D&D twice.
D&D, you needed several humongous books of 200 pages apiece, I think. I mean, if you can read that and put all the rules together and play a game, I think you had to be super intelligent.
DC fans, Watchmen, hands down, I think people that...
Smartest comic?
Yes. Or at least one of the smartest comics. And if you get it, you get it. And if you get it, you're reading a DC book.
Okay.
Different
approach, but same outcome.
Which type of nerd, and I think I have an answer for this, which type of nerd is the cleanest?
Which type of nerd? As far as what?
I guess as in... It says
all the previously mentioned nerds?
All the previous mentioned nerds, yeah.
Oh, wow. That's a tough question.
I think
it's equal.
I think it's the creator nerds.
What do you mean?
I think the people behind the table. I think they're the cleanest nerds there. I think they're all a bunch of comic book fans or fans of some sci-fi or, whatever.
Okay.
And I think they're usually the ones I know.
Well,
I
they better be clean. They're presenting a product to
I know.
A customer.
I know. That's what I think. I mean, they can sit in their boxes at home and smell like Cheetos for all I care, but at the convention, I think, or expo even.
That day.
They're the cleanest.
I can't argue against that.
You know, the day of the show, I bring some of those disposable toothbrushes you see at the Kroger checkouts.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I bring them with me, and probably about twice throughout the day, I go to the bathroom and use one real quick. Because I don't want to have bad breath when I'm talking to somebody.
I'm a big Tic Tac fan. I'll pop mints all day.
Now,
1.5 calories in my ass.
What do you think of the DC relaunch there, Andrew?
What do I think of it? Mm-hmm. You know, I was talking to Kendall up and away about that, and he put a terrific, of course he's a store and he's trying to move product, mm-hmm. but he put some logic onto it, and it made me, first I didn't like it, but when he explained it to me, it made sense. Is numbers are dwindling, from from all the comics, they're not pushing over 100,000, I believe, at this point, and you have to do something to stop that slide. And reintroducing the characters, getting everybody on the same page, making them timely. If they put forward what they're saying they're doing here, books are going to be timely. It's not so much about people creating the books. It's that books have got to be timely. They're getting back to the shorter stories. They're getting back to reintroducing the characters to the fans, so somebody new can join in, because there's DC's got convoluted universe. If that's the case and they stick to it, I'm all for it, because I think that's what it needs for the industry. I think it's got so convoluted that you almost kind of like, time to take a break, let's start it all over, and see where it goes. But however, if they get behind, let's say it's month 3 and the next thing you know they're already behind on books already, I think they're in trouble.
Well, I think they've nipped that in the bud. There's been quite a few stories about how they're replacing artists left and right. Some of them on the second month.
Actually, there's been three artists on three,
artists on the three issues.
One
of
announced.
The Black Hawks or whatever.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's what I read today. Now, I'm really curious how Jim Lee's going to keep on the book.
He'll probably have somebody ghost him.
Mm.
Sad, but that's probably the way it's going to be.
They put that out there that everything's going to be on time. So, people are calling them out on if it happens. So it's, but if they stick to it, that's how it was back in the old days. The 60s and 70s, it was about the book, not the creators. It was about getting the product out there. It was more business-like.
It sounds like you're saying two separate things. One, you're saying the schedule. And two, it seems like content. You talk about reintroducing the characters, cleaning up the confusion.
Yeah,
I'm not sure if content is the problem, because everyone rants and raves. Critics say, DC book, this is great. And, Blackest Night was great. This is the best Green Lantern's been. Batman's amazing. So I can't see eye to eye with you on content.
Yeah, I mean,
maybe accessibility to a degree, but I honestly think that distribution is an issue. I have a lot of
I agree totally. Distribution's a mess. Yep. They got to break that stranglehold.
Nephews who they're just too young, to drive themselves to comic book shops, and their parents don't know where the comic shops are. When they get there, they're uncomfortable. They're just.
If the books aren't in front of the kids' faces when they're young, they're not going to be – they're not magically, when they turn 25, just say, I'm going to walk in a comic book store.
Exactly.
It ain't going to happen. They got to get them somewhere that are more accessible. And I think that's where the digital media comes into play.
Right.
That may be the hook that gets people back into comics. And I think Marvel and DC are trying to figure out how in the heck to use it.
Get them on DSs. PSPs.
They're on the PSPs.
Yeah, well, get them on DSs then.
Yeah.
One other question here, and then we'll flip in a couple more questions. I'm gonna skip over a few. I want all of us to answer. What do you think the best non-Big Two book being published right now is?
Andrew, you hit this one first.
I'm a huge fan of The Goon, but my only disappointment is it's not being put out as much as I would like it.
Yeah. I think he has another hardcover coming out though, doesn't he?
I got them all. But they were so sporadic, the latest issues, that I am just waiting for hardcovers at this point.
I think I'm talking like when China – was it Chinatown came out?
Yeah.
That was like an OGN. I think he has another one of those coming out.
Oh, nice, nice. I didn't know – I haven't been following it as much as I used to just because of the show lately. But, yeah if that's the case, I'm all over that.
Bruce?
Non-Big Two.
Yep.
I love Invincible.
Mm.
Invincible makes me think back to when I was in like elementary school reading Spider-Man. just the excitement and the way my heart goes out to these characters, and I'm always curious what's happening next, what's happening next, what's happening next. It's usually the first book I read when I get my shipment in the mail.
All right. I'll take a book that inspires the writer a lot, Savage Dragon.
Yeah.
As my favorite. Okay, two more questions, and they're both from me. One is, the last one will be about the show. If you were, Andrew, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, if you were stranded on a desert island with only three books to read, one of them is Tim Rising the Chronologist, the other one's Clobber Vance.
Okay.
What would be the third book that you would choose? And by the way, the first two we listed are awesome books.
And does it have to be a graphic novel? Could it be anything or?
Any comic book. But the first two can be found at our table.
Oh, so there's a table there on this island with just your two books on it?
Well, there's a third book, too. But you've nicely chosen our two books to take with you.
They've been chosen for you.
That's right.
We like to stack the deck here.
Mm-hmm. What's okay. The third book?
That's a good question. You know what? I probably want to go with something that I'm going to enjoy over and over again. You know, so
in contrast to the other two books.
Using toilet paper.
You know, I might pick an EC archive to take with me.
Ooh.
You know, I think there's stories in there, and you know, you buy one of the archives, you probably get 20 some stories in it, and plus if I go insane or from being stuck on this island, I could find various ways to torture myself.
And the art's going to be beautiful in all those archives as well.
I mean, I agree.
You could pore over those pages over and over and over.
Yeah.
All right, final question here. I was looking at your Facebook, the Cincinnati Comic Expo Facebook, and Cincinnati Comic Expo welcomes a lot of artists. Which of these three people would you not welcome?
Oh, Jesus.
Close. Satan, Hitler, or Rob Granito?
Rob's out.
Well, no, you can only turn away one.
You can only turn away one of these three people. Which one is not welcome? Satan, Hitler, or Rob Granito?
It's not like he's welcoming the other two in with open arms,
is
it?
I'm not saying that. I'm just asking which one they're not welcoming.
This is a no-win situation.
That is a no-win. I don't think I could.
Kobayashi Maru.
I mean, I wouldn't. I mean, if Satan came, as long as he didn't mess with me, I wouldn't care. You know, he screws with Bruce all day. I don't care.
It's scary.
Rob, I mean, just for a simple reason, it's wrong what he did.
But if he pays for the table, he can do whatever the hell he wants, right?
It's not right. It's not right to what he did. Period. You know, I mean. No way. No way. He'd never be invited to my show.
Rob Granito. All right.
Okay, there we go.
Here comes Hitler and Satan, 2012.
That's a horrible question. That's a horrible question.
That was the first question I came up with when we decided to do this interview.
Who would you rather have sex with, your father or your dead father?
Dead.
Oh, Lord.
He's always stiff.
It's incestor.
Anyhow.
All right. Do you have any questions, Bruce?
No.
Can't top that question. Hold on there. Okay. We got to check the time here. We're at 16 minutes. We can come back for your questions, or we can continue.
I have questions.
Which one would you like to do, Bruce?
We'll continue.
We're going to continue.
We'll push
the limit.
We're ready.
All right, Bruce, this is for you.
Okay.
What does the O stand for in Bruce O. Hughes? Because I can't think of any middle names with O.
Well, first, I'd like to thank you for acknowledging that it is a first name and not making me Irish. Which, that happens a lot.
Bruce?
Bruce O'Hughes. Hello! Welcome to Bruce O'Hughes' table.
And I'm Justin Wilson.
Justin Wilson. No, it's Oliver.
Oliver? Oh, I didn't think of Oliver.
Oliver, okay. Yeah.
Can I call you Oliver going forward?
No, I won't answer.
Okay.
Oliver's my dad's name.
Mm-hmm.
And Bruce was my mother's father's name. Hughes, obviously, he got on my dad's side. I don't have an original name, and that's always bothered me. But, I can't call my name my own.
That's me. No one's got my name. my family.
Nobody's got my name. I got 7 brothers and sisters.
That's gotta make you guys feel good. You're individuals. Me, I'm the hopes and dreams of 2 other men. I feel like Danny DeVito and Twins.
Question number 2. This goes to you guys. At a show, you guys solicit sketching opportunities. Why do you go for $5?
Bruce, why do you go for $5?
Because in my opinion, all right, real quick here.
Yeah.
If you say $5 sketch, I feel like I'm going to get a $5 sketch. Okay? But if you would put a sign on there that said $20, I feel like I'm going to get a $20 sketch. It's probably a good sketch. Like if I go around the show floor and I'm going from artist to artist, what is it? 25, 30, 40. And then you get some guys got 200. You know, 40, 50, 30, 25. And I get the Bruce and Justin, you guys go $5. To me, I'm like, wow, these guys must not be good as these other people. So why $5?
Why $5 for you, Bruce?
I don't do sketches.
All right, so I guess this question's directed at me, unlike the question just directed at Bruce prior.
Why did you just spin that like that? Trying to rob me of a question?
No, I just think Andrew must be related to Spider-1.
I'm lovable. Ask Barry.
Yeah. No, why $5? Well, I used to do only free sketches. And
yeah, the charging thing is new to him.
Yeah, and I thought I think
you'd be better doing free.
What's that?
You'd probably do better doing free.
Well, then you need to pay him to show up at your con. Because yeah. That's how he makes his money.
Yeah, and I thought I would charge, and I had asked Bruce, and I asked around, you know, from free, what would I go to?
Yeah.
And we figured $5. And then at the Gem City, I even threw in, if you want to spend $5 more, I'll ink it. Yeah. And $5 more after that, I'll color it.
Didn't happen.
Not a single person. Not the colors.
Yeah.
Now, I think if I brought some of the samples of the stuff I've done, you know, like the quick sketches that I've done and put on Facebook that are colored, and say, hey, look, this is stuff, you know, it's like a $15 quick bust.
I think the $5, it buys you peace of mind. Uh-huh. You don't dwell on it. You don't tear it up and start over. $5, you're like, okay, they get the line as it falls. And also, I've seen you make over $100 in sketches in one day doing the $5 sketches because you can just crank them out. Now, I'm not sure if you were charging $20 a sketch, if you could do as many with your peace of mind. Because you do obsess over the quality of product you're handing out to people. So I don't know if you charge $20, how long you'd spend on a $20 sketch, and therefore if you could do the equivalent of $20 sketches.
Well, do you value your time at the you know, you break it down into minutes. You know, how much are you putting into the sketch, and that's how much you're getting paid per hour. I mean, are you selling yourself short?
So what would you charge for my sketches?
Well, that's not me to decide. That's you.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to also note that while he's doing the sketches, I'm selling. I'm standing there small talking. I'm pitching. I'm pushing comics. We find that if we get our product in someone's hand, 90% of the time they're going to buy it.
Right, I agree.
If I can just get somebody to flip through it, see something funny, see something dirty, see something they like, and the easiest way to do that is you offer them something for almost nothing. If they're willing to invest $5, one, you get to see the stack of coins. You get to see if they're carrying around some actual money to buy comics with. And two, I'm basically bribing them to stand there and let me pitch to them for at least 5 minutes. I think it really works out well for us.
Okay, well, I'm not judging you on how you do things, so I was just curious. But, you know, here's something that somebody had told me.
I'm charging you more, Andrew.
That's okay. I was talking to a creator, a very well-known creator, Marv Wolfman. And I was selling a product at a show. And Marv came over, and we were talking and chatting. He was asking about the price and all that. And I said, well, what do you think? And he gave me this example. He says, Andrew, I'm going to tell you something and take it to heart. He goes, when I would go to shows, I would bring scripts from comics that I had produced, okay? And I would put them on the table, and all it is just me printing them out on a printer and stapling them and putting them on the table.
Yeah.
Since I would charge like $2 for them. Never sold hardly, and I might sell one or two at a show. So somebody gave me the advice, say, put $20 on it and see what happens. Next show he did, $20, sold every single one. and he's been doing it ever since then. $20, never look back. Because people see a perceived value in something. When you say this is $20, you know, it makes it seem like it's a perceived value. You're getting your $20 worth. Or if you put $2, you just look like somebody just printed something out on a piece of paper and threw it on the table.
Right.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah,
now, where that fits in with your art, you know, I think you guys do awesome art. You know, that's what I'm saying. Don't sell yourself short. If your art, you know, if it's a $5 sketch, I mean, people might think I'm getting a $5 sketch.
Well, one of the reasons we don't print prices on our comics is so that we can change the price depending on demand.
Okay.
Me, at least, Justin looked at me weird. If you notice, on none of my comics it says how much they are. I change that based on the convention, based on how well they've sold up to that point, based on how many more I have left.
So if I come up to your table and you say, here comes that jerk face, this comic now is $3, it's now $20.
No, I have to be consistent once I get to the convention because people do talk to each other.
Okay, cool. Okay, I got another question for you guys.
Okay.
Have you ever had a difficult customer where you had to yell at them, tell them to get the heck away?
We've never yelled at anyone. We have had customers that we just look at each other and roll our eyes and pray that they leave.
The free sketch guy.
Yeah, I don't want to mention what conventions he's at, but there's a guy who will only take things for free.
Yeah.
And then he'll buy something from me. He's never bought anything from Joe. Are we thinking of the same guy?
Very beginning of the show.
He's a very large man.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, no shirts fit him, apparently. No. Yeah.
I know who you're talking about.
He's never bought anything from Justin. He buys one thing from me a year, and he wants a free sketch. He wants multiple free sketches.
Right. And so I when I started the pay sketch, he will buy nothing from me.
Yeah. And then there's a kid at the same convention. He has to have – he's got some sort of developmental problem. He wants a sketch from you, but he doesn't have an opinion on who he wants. And you get frustrated with that.
Yeah, there's people like that. It's a shame. I mean, we got what I call the free admission guy.
Yeah.
He says he was referenced in a book. So he comes up with everybody else during the regular show hours and says, I'm a professional. You need to let me in. And then you go, what? What have you ever done? And then he refers himself to some book where an artist made a mention of him. And this year he's not getting in for free. I'm putting my foot down.
I would say the most confrontational we've ever had to be was when Justin defended me as not being a Nazi to a guy in Louisville. I have a print of Captain America I sell. And this guy apparently flipped his lid over the fact that Captain America was bleeding, and he said, well, obviously a Nazi drew that.
Yes, you were a Nazi.
And
that's terrible. That's ridiculous.
Conveniently, I'd shaved my head that day. In all seriousness, I had a shaved head, so I was like, oh
man.
That looks bad.
There's all types out there. There's all types.
Yeah.
All right, I got like two more questions,
yes,
okay?
Sir.
What did you like about last year's Cincinnati Comic Expo?
I liked turning a profit. I honestly think the last year's expo was a turning point in our sales. Was that the first time you charged for
that
sketches?
That was the most, yeah, the first time I charged for sketches, and I outdid what I do on comic books.
Yeah, and
I didn't sell anything.
That was the most money I'd ever made at a con.
Up to then.
Up to then. People in Cincinnati have money. Everyone I talked to, Kevin Meinhardt, I mentioned to Pritchard, we make money in Cincinnati.
I like to hear that.
I'm not sure exactly what happened. I don't know if it was because it was your first con or because it was there in the school area or what, but people were coming in and they had their wallets and purses open.
I liked doing the thing for the auction, the Superman.
Yeah.
Ocho Cinco, go longer.
Yeah, much like last year, what I'm bringing to the auction this year is not in theme. Because last year I had a Thor thing, and this year I have a MODOK Hawkeye thing I did.
Nice.
That is not in theme with Captain. Although Captain America's ass is in it.
Well, you know, this year the silent auction is going to be presented like no other. We have a whole section just for the auction with backdrops and everything. We're really going to do it right.
Did you see the auction in Louisville?
Yes, I did. I walked right behind it when they were in process.
Don't get that woman.
I don't know who she was, but she didn't bother me. The auction,
I figured we just put a cute girl to take the bids.
Yeah. the auction there helped my sales because they auctioned off the original art for the print I did. And from that point forward, everyone's like, oh, are you the guy with the Aquaman print? Are you the guy with the Aquaman print? So I would appreciate it, and I think all the artists would, when you're auctioning something off, if you could mention this is from this artist, they're at table, blah, blah, blah.
Well, if you go to our website, we have the silent auction page.
Yeah.
Okay? And on that silent auction page, it tells you where the benefits are going to.
Yep.
But we're also previewing some of the art that's going to be in the auction.
Ooh, nice.
So if you go to the website, you know, you go to info, silent auction, and it'll have a whole page brought up. And we've already previewing some of the art. We're also previewing it on our Facebook page because, you know, we want to give people the opportunity to know what's going to be available in the auction so it's not a surprise when it comes up that day.
Yeah. Now, can people bid in advance?
No, only at the show, and the bidding's over at 3.
Okay. Now, are you accepting digital bids, or is it only cash and check?
Cash and check. And if it gets to be a high-dollar amount, you know, we'll consider something else at that point in time.
Okay.
You know, I mean, we've got some amazing talent lined up to provide art for us, and we're really excited for it. Now, next question I have, not a question, but you guys made a comment about artists getting, like, perks, you know. You missed out on posters or programs.
Yeah.
This year, our volunteers are putting together little swag bags for the artists. So when you guys come in with your registration, you're going to get a tube, a poster tube. It's going to have all three of the show posters in it. We're also going to put in all the swag that the other people would have gotten, and a program book and all that will be handed to you when you register. So I don't want anybody to feel like they're left out. You know,
that's,
you're part of
the show.
That's
really cool. That's greatly appreciated.
Thank you, sir.
And just let everyone else know out there, about 20 minutes later, eBay. Just check it.
Oh, man.
No, ladies, man.
That's really nice. I like to, I don't know. Maybe it's an ego thing. I like to have things saying I was there. Things with my name on them. Makes me feel good.
I mean, we just want to, you know, treat all the creators that come to the show. I don't care who you are. We want you to have a very memorable time in Cincinnati, and you want to come back.
What we're going to do is we're going to come back one more time. We're going to say our final thought. We do the final thoughts and goodbyes and everything. It's very touching and moving.
There will be tears.
Bruce and I touch each other. That's why we wish you were here.
He touches me and I move. That's what he means by touching and moving.
We'll be right back.
The Cincinnati Comic Expo at the Duke Energy Convention Center, September 17. Bring a friend, buy a comic book, meet Jim Steranko and Jackson Guys. It's the Cincinnati Comic Expo at the Duke Energy Convention Center, September 17. Even Mike Norton will be there.
We're back with our final part of this fantastic interview. First off, I would like to point out that we had a lot of great questions.
Yeah.
However, we were missing one, and that was from Mr. Mike
Adams, the second.
The creator of the break-ins.
The guy who's like, we should do a podcast, guys. And he showed up four times total?
Yeah.
For these?
He made an appearance not too long ago, but I talked to him last night.
Also,
and he said,
apparently me and him are working on a comic that he doesn't have time to write.
He's busy, man. He's got a kid.
I don't care. I have a kid.
Yeah,
I will one-up him.
All right. I want to see it. Mike, you
like
can tell
right
him.
Now, I'm going to go impregnate my wife. I'll be right back, guys.
Okay.
5 seconds later.
Done. She's satisfied.
Man, you're a marathon man. All right.
I'm a sprinter.
So what we do here, Andrew, what we do in the final segment is we do say our goodbye.
He just said he listened to every podcast we've ever done.
I don't think he gets this far. A lot of people fall asleep.
That's your mom. She collapses 20 minutes in. Oh, Justin.
I'm sorry. She gets chemo. Is that funny?
You're playing the cancer card
again?
Is that
funny?
Oh, yeah? Well, my mom's Native American.
My mom's part Native American, too.
Shit. My mom's name's Judy.
So is mine.
I think we're related.
Oh, boy. So, anyhow, Andrew. I mean, our final thoughts, I think, I know I've had a great time interviewing you. I've been looking forward to this.
I've never sweated more in my life.
Oh.
Very nervous.
Me too.
But what would you like to say to, we'll let you wrap up the show. And if anything you want to say about Mike, feel free to.
Yeah. Have you ever met Mike?
I never met Mike, no.
I don't think he bothered going to the Cincinnati.
He said he was going to, but it didn't happen.
He didn't show up.
No.
He's kind of disappointment with
you, Mike. If you're out there, we love to have you this year.
Yeah. Yeah. We put it down as part of the studio.
The no-name studio.
It's the pigeon farm. We talked about this. We call it the pigeon farm. Don't look at my screensaver. We're doing a podcast, for God's sake.
I got distracted by the shiny.
I know.
So, Andrew, no, seriously, you have to talk, though.
Oh, okay. Well, the say goodbyes, I guess. Well, Cincinnati Comic Expo, September 17th, down at the Duke Energy Center. Come see why it is bigger and better than last year. Meet comic book icon Jim Steranko. Check out our awesome panels that will be announced next week. We like to do things on the up and up and very classy. So come on out and enjoy yourself at the show. Kids, 10 and under are free. First 100 kids through the door get a swag bag.
Nice.
Filled with comic book goodies that they can parents can use to introduce their kids to comics. And after that, we'll have other freebies for the fans coming to the show. We have three exclusive posters. If you buy a ticket, you get to select one of the three posters. If you buy the VIP package, not only do you get an hour early, but you also get all three posters. So and there'll be some other items thrown in there as well. Tickets are on sale now. You can go to our website, www.cincinnaticomicexpo.com, where you can purchase the tickets, and it is wise to purchase in advance to help process you through the line faster. And the VIPs are limited. We only sell 50 of those, and we've been marching right along and getting those sold. So if you're on the fence about purchasing a VIP ticket, I would recommend getting it sooner rather than later.
Now, you said it was the 17th. It's, what, 10:30 to 5:30?
It's 10 to 5:30. We extended it an extra half hour to accommodate some panels. The gaming portion of the expo, though, which is hosted by YottaQuest, does run until 10 o'clock at night, though.
Okay.
So if you're a gamer, or even if you want to do that after the show's over, YottaQuest will be having gaming until 10 o'clock at night.
That's cool.
Right there. Make sure you come out and check out the costume contest sponsored by Up, Up, and Away Comics here in Cincinnati. It will be on a fairly large stage where all the panels will be held, and it's going to be set to music, and it's going to be a lot of fun. The Captain America panel is going to be unbelievable. We're going to have a video introduction with some interviews. We're going to be handing out some goodies to the fans. A special print that was created by an industry legend just for that panel. You can only get it there. And then the Steranko panel is going to be amazing in and of itself. Hear stories about, you know, the life of this amazing person. I think everybody would want to hear. Don't miss out. All the panels will be videotaped. So lots of exciting things going on there. Michael Uslan will be there. So it's just going to be a fabulous show. There's a lot going on. So you really need to go to the website, check everything out, start circling things, making notations of who you want to visit, what you want to do, because it is a one day. You know, there's not another day to make it up. So if you want to buy something, buy it right then and there. Don't wait, because you may not have another opportunity.
I would say if there's any downside to it this year, there's almost too much to do.
Yeah, me and Matt actually have talked about that. We've got a lot planned for a one-day show, which just makes everybody want to come back next year.
Yeah.
When do you suggest creators should show up? Because, you know, we like to get there early.
We like to sleep in late.
We like to get there early. You like to sleep in. But no, I see sometimes
creators,
people show up like at the very last minute.
You make me get there at like 8 a.m.
early bird gets the worm.
I'm going to be opening the doors for Andrew and Matt. Hey, guys, we've been here since 12:30.
Now, creators can actually set up the night before with the vendors. From 5 till 9, you can come in on Friday, set your stuff up. Saturday, you can get in as early as 7. However, the VIP start getting in at 9. Yeah. So if you're a creator and you're listening to this podcast, highly recommend you come down Friday, get familiar with the facility, know where everything's at, where you're going to be at, you know, and then, you know, afterwards head down 2 blocks, go to Oktoberfest and get wasted.
make sure make you sure show back up.
On time at that 9 a.m., okay?
Sleep out front. Someone will nudge you.
Come back to the Duke. Bring, you know, bring a pillowcase and go to bed.
I like you calling it just the Duke now. That seems very informal but sexy. Duke. Stumble back to the Duke, baby. Come on. I'm going to have sex there. I've made the decision right now. It sounds good. The Duke.
I'm going to be with you.
So,
the bathrooms will be huge. You won't know.
The bathrooms are extremely close to the room.
I've had to be quiet.
And you're not going to get lost like you did at the Cintas. They're not a maze.
I love
it's that. Straightforward. You go in, make one turn, and it's right there.
The weird thing was the guys in the gals' restrooms were connected by a hallway.
I saw the little boy from The Shining running through there, trying to escape from his dad.
Those craziest restrooms at the Cintas I've ever seen. I got lost. You got lost. Everybody makes comments about it. It's terrible.
It was amazing.
So
that's about it. That's about it.
I'd like to thank you guys for having me on.
I'd like to thank you for pestering Great. Justin until he said yeah.
Yeah, that was about like 4 months ago.
what a lead up.
Okay, well, that's it. And Bruce, thank you for hosting this.
It's been a pleasure. I was forced to learn quite a bit about my recording equipment, which will come in handy later.
Well, Andrew, we'll let you say goodbye, and then Bruce and I will say adios as well.
I'd like to say goodbye. I'd like to thank my wife for allowing me to do the show. I'd like to thank Matt for working as hard as he does. And I'd like to thank my parents, and I'd like to thank you guys. I'd like to thank our creators and our vendors. Blah, 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 blah.
And Cuba Gooding Jr.
Yeah, why not?
You show him the money for him to get the show.
No, he was the guy that was played off, and he refused to leave. The Oscars, don't you remember that?
I remember. I remember, yeah. Yes, because he did his whole reprisal from the Jerry Maguire speech. Yeah, I was very upset when I saw that.
Okay.
Okay, well, we're going to head out, and don't forget to check out our table. I don't know what we're at, but you can find it somehow, someday.
Next week.
Next week, find out where we're going to be.
We'll post it on our respective websites.
And wherever Chris Pritchard's going to be, we'll probably steal his table.
Yeah.
Maybe we did last year.
I like him. He's a nice guy.
Yeah, very attractive.
Maybe we'll be near him again. We'll see.
Maybe. All right. Take care, everyone.
Bye. Sugar. Oh, honey, honey. You are my king.